From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
It's Locked On Chiefs, and this is an interesting day. Some news came out that we're going to hit right off the top of the show before we get into discussing Brett Veach's approach to the secondary in particular and what the Chiefs have at cornerback, which is a position that is going to be in rare flux over the last couple of seasons. There's a lot of options there. We're looking forward to the discussion. Well, yeah, knock on wood. We're looking forward to the discussion. Hope you guys are, too. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark, and I only say we think because Veach has surprised me the past couple of years and kept it pretty much the same. So who knows what is going to happen. So just want to throw that out there.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, it's not like we can be peace rags and say that Patrick Peterson will be a Chief like he did the other day. So, like, I'm not ready to go in there. But that discussion is long and detailed, so I hope you guys stick around for that. But we have to get right to the top of it, and that is that Mitch Schwartz finally had surgery. I thought it was very telling in that he announced it on social media. His wife did as well, so there's a couple of little takeaways there. But the overall is that he had hoped to work back through rehab, etc., to get back for the playoffs in the Super Bowl. So that really had been the plan all along, as we kind of speculated. But at that point, without it happening, I think it became clear that something needed to be done. And he tweeted out a picture of himself getting looked like about to be wheeled in for surgery. So more power to him. But I mean, how do you take the takeaway for what that means for the future?
Well, I think you have to figure that he sounds optimistic, and I understand why you'd want to sound optimistic. I think you have to take it with a grain of salt and say, you know, obviously we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully they can get an idea as to what's going to happen in the next month. Because honestly, it could really affect your draft situation and free agency. So we'll just have to wait and see. And that stinks to have to say that, but that's really how it feels.
Yeah, I really, really do feel like this is, it is a wait and see, because I can't speculate too far on that. My background in medicine has nothing to do with backs, because backs are like a scary thing that I try not to go near. But the optimism in his post that he feels it's a short recovery, and I think his wife echoed that as well, that tells me at least one thing, that it's not a vertebrae fusing. Generally, that is a much longer recovery rate. I know several people who have gone through that, non-athletes, actually. So I'm a little relieved for him to hear that that doesn't seem to be the case here. But outside of that, I don't know that we can put any more, you know, detail into speculating on what it is.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into the speculation game either. That's why I'm saying I hope that they can get a, you know, good idea as to when he's going to be back and if he's going to be able to be back. Obviously, they'll know more after the surgery's done. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. But, it's, you know, you said it before we got on the podcast, it's a lot of cloak and dagger type stuff. And that's kind of the way it feels right now. So, honestly, I mean, it sounds like maybe Kansas is going to be in a better position, but we still don't know at this point.
Yeah, it's just not definitive enough. And I'm really looking forward to hearing some kind of update in a week or two about what a quick recovery, quote unquote, in their mind actually means. And if he's able to start moving, if he feels some relief, if that is something he gets cleared to start, you know, working out or running again. It's been quite a long time, I think. If we didn't get to that progression yet, and he said he had been doing rehab, you feel like they have a pretty good feel about where he is, and that evaluation should come pretty quickly, because you're right. I mean, we're sitting here, what, 2 months out? Not even 2 months and 2 days to make these draft picks. Like, you have to have a plan by then. You have to have as much information as you possibly can, because that will change the process. If he is able to be even not fully recovered, if he's 90% of what he was last season, which was markedly not his best season of his career. Obviously, he's on the backside of 30.
90% of what he was last season was not great, but it would have been good enough to be better in the Super Bowl if he was able to play. So I think that's the key. Is he going to be able to be 90% of, you know, I don't even know that I could say 90% last season. I'd say 85 to 90% of what he was before last season.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I mean, I understand where you're going and what you're trying to say, but at the same time, that extra 10% really is a big difference.
It is, but I will say this, even if the floor is 85% of last season, I think that's still markedly better than trying to put it in the hands of a rookie. And I think that the team will elect to move forward with him if they feel that he's capable of making it through a season.
Rookie, yes, but if they decide they're going to bring Rimmers back, that could be their answer too.
That's true. I'm trying to lump in a new draft pick and Niang, because Niang is still a rookie. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to differentiate. You're right. A veteran is definitely a different story. But all in all, I think this is a slight positive, but I don't think this sets the table that that you're going to have the best right tackle in football back.
Yeah, and he was the best right tackle in football without a question. So, you know, you hope that he can come back. And honestly, if he can come back, that's a huge thing for Kansas City, because they really are struggling with trying to figure out who their tackles are going to be next season.
Yeah, it is a big part of what's going on. So that said, the other big part is, how do you deal with a couple of availabilities in your secondary? A couple of interesting questions. And we're going to dig deep into what Brett Veach is going to do with this cornerback group in particular.
That's coming up next. The chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on whims like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice the money for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Big discussion for this team, and honestly, any team, is always built around the cornerbacks. This has been a group that actually, I think, outperformed our expectations for 2020. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say so.
I think that is obviously led by Lajarius Sneed, who, you know, for a fourth round pick, even outplayed my expectations, but clearly is going to be a guy that's going to be a starting level player, whether it's, you know, three or two, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah, funny thing about him is they did a redraft of the last year's draft, and Sneed went number 7. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's even better than I ever thought he would. I mean, kudos to him. But he is the case, I think. He's the case study for what this team in particular, but what a lot of teams want to do. And that is, he's got super long arms. I want to say 33 3/8, if I remember correctly. He's tall. He's fast. 4.37, I think, was the best score that I saw for him in the 40. And not that that's the end all be all, but he's also quick. I mean, nobody's Ty Hill quick, but he's quick in and out of cuts. He can recover. That's why he was able to go from playing outside to playing nickel, right? And I think when we take a step back and look at the philosophical part of how this team approaches corners, he's really it in a nutshell, right? In terms of size, speed, and ability to be versatile.
Yeah. And honestly, I think if Kansas City could find, obviously, you're not going to find another LJ Sneed in this draft, probably in the fourth round, just more than likely. If you could, that'd be fantastic, but they're definitely going to need to add at that position this year.
Yeah, I think so as well. And being able to have those kind of guys, especially when you take a look at a couple of the other guys that are going to play more meaningful roles in 21 than they played in 20, specifically Rashad Fenton. And this is under the assumption that DeAndre Baker actually recovers like we've been told that he should. And on that time frame, he should have a role next season as well. Maybe one of the top three. I think he showed some spark there. And certainly he was drafted at a spot that would make you think that the college evaluation that the Chiefs had for him had him as a starting level ability player. But the interesting thing is, when you look at them, those two guys in particular are not the same as LJ Sneed. They are not these super burner types. They are not the guys that have the long arms. They are more about their play on the field, which is the tenacity and the aggressiveness and the ability to press. I think that technique in particular is what this team wants to look for.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to have to look long and hard in the draft. The problem with needing corners in this league is every team needs them. And when you're a team that is strapped with the salary cap, you're going to have a very hard time finding anything that can step in and really play in that position for anything that's going to be less than, you know, probably $8 or $9 million a year.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. And we all know there's talk of Patrick Peterson being, you know, available again. Evidently, the Cardinals want him back. But, you know, he's kind of, again, the prototypical, like, tall, long corner. At his age, he doesn't have the speed that he used to, but it's certainly he is in what used to be the prototype for them, right? So I could see if they were going to go after somebody in free agency and they feel that they have the room to spend some cash, he's certainly somebody they would look at, especially when you look at what we're going to talk about coming up, about the rest of this corner group that looks to lose a lot of his experience. You know, they could need or use an elder statesman in there to kind of guide that group. But I also want to point out that Bo Pete Keys is more along the lines of Snead than he is a Baker and Fenton in terms of being long, having decent speed. He's not as fast as Snead, but he's pretty good. But he has definitely showed that in last year's draft, they were very specific at looking at the long, tall corners that could turn and run and not being terribly worried about them being raw. As long as they can be aggressive, they can play some man, and they can have the physical attributes to be able to get down the field, I think that's going to continue this next season.
Definitely should. And a lot of questions as to how they're going to get past all of these free agents that they have right now.
And there are so many of them. And we're going to touch on that here in a couple of minutes, folks. But when you go through not just the free agency with Peterson and whoever else becomes available, but as you start looking at draft choices as well, there are a lot of fish to be fried on this roster this year. We've talked about the offensive line extensively last week. As well as a number of other needs that are going to be there at the linebacker level, you know, depth at wide receiver. There's a lot to get done. If we don't see a
depth at wide receiver, but yeah.
Right. I mean, but you could see Pringle maybe taking that starting X role if they don't get what they want. But there's a lot of things that they need. And if they don't trade back, they are already not at a full complement of draft picks in this particular draft. So it gets a little bit harder. A lot of those questions have to be answered with their own free agents in decision points here that we're going to get to in order to see what group goes along with the four guys that we just talked about that are all on the not only young, but like raw young side. We're going to get into Bashaud Breeland, Antonio Hamilton, Charvarius Ward, and Alex Brown coming up next. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing, and BetOnline even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Now, I didn't do those in an order, but I think you could probably take some takeaways there. Who is the guy? We have varying levels here. It's exclusive rights free agent for Alex Brown, who I think they liked enough to give him some snaps the season previous. Obviously, Charvarius Ward has been a starter for the team. He's a restricted rights free agent. And then Antonio Hamilton and Bashaud Breeland are both unrestricted whatsoever. So let's start at the bottom. Alex Brown, what do you feel that he plays a role in this next season? Do they bring him back?
I think they could as a rotational guy, but I don't think he has a chance of making the roster long term. If he does, I don't think that's really a good indication as to where the team's going to be when it comes to their cornerback group.
Fair enough. And a couple of flashes. We know he got Gronkowski at one point during that season as well. Like there's some things that I think give a little spark, but it's the cheapness, I think, of this contract. An exclusive rights free agent, it should be back. Like you said earlier yesterday, that while they are escalating contracts, they are still fairly cheap. The biggest question, I think, has to be Charvarius Ward, although in my mind, it's not much of a question at all. A restricted rights free agent, they can tender him at, you know, he was a UDFA, so I don't think they're going to put the original round tender on him. I would think that it's a second rounder, wouldn't you?
I think it's going to be a first.
Yeah.
And I say first because even at $4 million, that's cheap for a corner.
Okay.
So I don't think that you risk losing him. If you want him here anyway, if you want the pick, then maybe you look at a second round pick. But if you want him here, I think you give him a first round tender. And I say what you want. I wouldn't be shocked if somebody was willing to part with a late first rounder for Charvarius Ward. Does he have his issues? Yes. But you have to remember, corner is one of the hardest positions to draft in this league. And every team needs him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And if you're not drafting high, you're going to have a very hard time getting a corner that's going to start for you. That's why I say if it's a first round pick, if it's very late, it wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could happen. I would tend to think that most of the playoff teams are probably set at corner, and that's how they got to be a playoff team because of just how important that position is. But that's a very good point. And that way, at least you cover your bases. And yes, there's ups and downs from Charvarius. I don't feel like he progressed this last season as much as we could have hoped for. I do feel that he is still a solid number two guy, and maybe they need another like 1B to go with Legarius Sneed, who I think clearly going forward is the most capable corner they have on this roster or will have, even if they bring back Bashaud, who I think clearly is a good player, very instinctual. And again, he's long, he presses well, he's physical, he just doesn't have the long speed. But even then, I would say at this point, LJ Sneed is a better player overall than Breland is.
I don't disagree with you. The other thing I want to say on Ward really quick, just to take it back, I understand why people are going to say that I can't see them putting a first-round pick on Charvarius Ward or somebody wanting to give up a first-round pick, but here's where I'm sitting if I'm Kansas City. You're already losing Bashaud Breland. You're more than likely going to lose Hamilton because I don't know that they're going to bring him back, and he's mostly a special teams player anyway. So if you lose Breland and you don't bring Ward back, you're going to go to an extremely young secondary unless you bring in a veteran that you're going to have to pay more than $4 million to keep Ward at the first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's honestly
where I'm coming from.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. You have to have one or other or the other with Ward or Breland. Whatever you think is best for you, or if you roll the dice on a first round pick tender for, Ward and somebody does pay that, then maybe it's about the market for Breland, which I think will be there, but I don't know that it's going to be what he wants. He does still have an off-field thing kind of hanging out there, and I don't think he played as well in the playoff run in 2020 as he or 2021 as he did in 2020.
And he's still close to 30, so I mean he's probably not going to get the deal that he's going to want. The question is going to be, you know, last year he got into an off-field incident, so I think that's part of the reason he's able to come back at the number he did for Kansas City. So the question is he willing to try to do that again to come back here? If he is, then maybe you are able to see Breland back. But to me, I just cannot see him getting that low of a deal again this season.
Yeah, and you may absolutely be right. And for him, this has got to be his kind of last go-round. Hamilton's kind of the same way. Hamilton's 28, Bashaud's 29. They're both going to be a year older when the season, you know, finishes up next year. Like, you have to be looking for your last contract at this point in your career. That's difficult to come by. I think Hamilton is an interesting case too, because like you said, he is a core special teamer. They used him on defense because they had to this year. That can't happen again. And that said, given how he played on defense, he might go out there and not find much market at all. So I think this is clearly something that he's going to walk, and maybe they get a chance at both he and Bashaud later if their markets don't develop.
Yeah, and I could definitely see them bringing Hamilton back because, like I said, he is a core special teamer. I think they like him in that role. But you're absolutely right. You don't want to have him starting or playing on defense. But that wasn't what he was brought in here to do. He wasn't brought in here to be a defender. He was brought in here for his special teams play, and I think he did that very well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And back to what you said as well. When you look at Sneed, Fenton, Baker, Keys, all 24 years old, that is a nice core going forward. If you can get some kind of leadership, even if it's Charvarius, who isn't a terribly vocal leader from what I understand inside the locker room, he certainly isn't in the media, but he is a couple years older at 26 now, and he's got obviously a lot more reps under his belt than any of those players. I think that is something that can be, while it's still a risk being that young, if he is the guy that you can get back and leave out there on his side just to be opposite Legarius, I think that you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and you obviously have very skilled people at the coaching positions at that at CB, so I think that helps too. But, you know, if you don't bring back Breland, I think that you're definitely going to be looking at adding a corner and maybe even in the first 100 picks.
Yeah, I certainly do. And there's a number that I like, not necessarily first rounders either. I actually think, once again, that this team is ripe for an option to trade back into the upper 30s or even the low 40s. Pick up an additional top 100 pick and get a corner that they can work with.
Yep. And that could be something that they look at. And if they're able to do that, that'd be great. I think that that would put them in the right position for what, where they want to be going forward. But the nice thing is if you're sitting here looking at your corner group and you're going, okay, Snead, Baker, Keys, those are my corners. Oh, and Fenton, you have three that are 24. Fenton's the oldest at 26, and they're all under contract through at least the end of next year. And Baker would be an ERFA in 2022. So he'd be exclusive rights. So he couldn't go anywhere if he wanted to.
Right. It leaves you a lot of room to continue to build from up.
At cheap too. That's the big key.
Exactly. And I think this position group in particular.
At a marquee position. Sorry.
Marquee position has to be cheap, but they've done a good job. Even if Baker doesn't pan out because of everything before or the injury, I think this front office has done a good job at finding the talent that they need to remain cheap and productive at that particular position group. So don't be afraid when they take a third round corner or a third round safety that maybe could play corner, much like Snead was. That is still a viable option if you can get them to develop like this. And even though I know Brett Veach was a little surprised at how quickly Snead developed, that was the key all along, is that you could see that happening. It's about getting to fruition, I think, with whoever you take this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to figure out who's going to fit your scheme. You have to figure out who's going to be able to jump in. And one of the things that you have to do as a corner that we never really talk about is you have to know tendencies. You have to know team tendencies. And that really comes back to how much you get into the tape. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the harder things that they're going to be dealing with over this next couple of months with this draft season. And something we never talk about. One of the easier things to do at the combine is, you know, interview players and go through and see what guys know. That's going to be even harder this year. Yeah, you can still do Zooms, but it's not the same thing. It's not like having a guy get on the board and tell you what, you know, this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's a little different for corners than it would be for QBs and other positions, but it's still knowing what is coming and seeing what their football knowledge is, because if you don't have that football knowledge, you're starting from behind.
Yeah, that is certainly what happens. And you can teach some of that, but you have to have an innate ability as well in order to really be that good.
And you have to have a love for it. Mm-hmm. If you don't love what you do and you don't love football, then you're not going to have that knowledge and you're not going to develop it. That's the key.
Yeah. And that's where that pays off, too, in being able to take a young guy like that and allow him to do the work and get on the field.
Well, and one of the reasons that Sorensen and Matthew have been so good over the years is because they are such film hounds.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently.
Film helps everyone. I mean, and Travis Kelce, people, he needs help. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about roles, whether it's traditional tight end, inline H's, H fullback type hybrids, all kinds of things. But Travis needs a running partner or three. Tomorrow, we're going to focus on the tight ends. We are very glad that you were here to hear this one. Let us know what you think. Leave another iTunes review or whatever you like.
And Ryan's going to tell us how Kansas City's going to go and get Kyle Pitts. So wait for that for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, hold your breath, because I don't even know if I could work that out, but it's going to be fun. Thank you, guys. I hope that you're here for the Travis Kelce discussion, as well as how they can evolve this team. I think it's going to be really important and specific to how this offense evolves going forward. That's coming up tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us today. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.